Good morning, all. I was reading in Proverbs this week, and something came to mind about something I fall short on, and I know that a lot of people fall short on, is fear of the Lord. So I'm going to read just one verse in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I read that verse this week, and I was thinking about Wednesday Bible study. We were talking about saltiness. And saltiness is being all about the Lord and being about Him and doing what He would have us do and listening for Him. And, you know, just kind of lifting up our day to Him, because aren't we, if we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, our lives are not ours. Our lives are His. And to serve Him, you know, in however way, whatever way that we should serve Him. And there's so many Christians today out there. I was talking to my sister yesterday about, you know, because she asked me a few questions, and there are some Christians out there today that don't have fear of the Lord. They want the Lord to serve them. They're all about what the Lord can do for me. Look at me. I'm saved. I go to church. The Lord loves me. There's nothing I need to do. So we ask Him to do stuff for us all the live long day. And where's the service of us to Him? And it is true that so many of us fall short in that. And He is so long-suffering and kind to us. But we need to get that right. It's important to remember that. Look what He did for us. Holy cow, you know. What did He do for us? I'm going to read you a little bit out of Isaiah 40. Because that also came to mind when I was thinking about this. It's Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord promises us that if we wait on Him and serve Him and serve those above us in the Lord as unto Him, He's going to renew our strength. We need to be about Him no matter how it is we serve Him. You know, in just little things, big things, little things, it doesn't matter. We have to serve Him in every way and wait upon Him. And that doesn't mean sit down in a chair and twiddle our thumbs and say, "Oh, Lord, I know You're coming someday. I'm ready for You." That's not waiting. Waiting is serving. Like a waiter in a restaurant, for example. Waiting is serving Him. And that's what He wants. He wants us to serve Him. And, you know, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool like we read about in Luke 14 this week. We read about the salt that has lost its savor. It's worth nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. It's no good. If you're not salty and not about His business and serving Him, then how are you helping the Lord out with His plan? Because it's His plan, not ours. And He wants us to be part of His plan. His plan is perfect. And I know that I want to be part of His plan. So I pray that the Lord work on all of us to get us and bring us to that point that He promises He'll bring us to. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning again, everybody. Beautiful day.
A couple of things that came to mind for me was two words, really. Practice and exercise. But when we practice something, the hope is that we continue to get better at it, right? And when we exercise something, our hope is that it becomes stronger. Right, so two main things that we need to do is practice and exercise. But what are we practicing and what are we exercising? Are we practicing the things of this world? Are we practicing our own understanding? Or are we practicing the things of God? Right? Are we exercising our own strength? Are we exercising our own might? Or are we exercising faith? That might be strengthened in us. We need to make sure, there's that saying, you know, practice makes perfect. Yeah, it does. If you're practicing the right thing, I mean, the word even says so, right? Unto perfection. That's where we're called to go. And we read that song today out of, it's one of my favorites, personally, Romans 8:1 there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so if we're practicing and exercising not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, we have hope. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that the freedom we all want? We have the roadmap on how to get there. I know for me, I have fits and starts, and I suspect many of us do too. You know, I might have a few days where, you know, I'm trucking right along and, you know, things are strengthening in me. And then I hit this wall or this, you know, this steep incline maybe if we're walking up a mountain. Hey, I've heard that analogy before, you know, where things become difficult and doubt starts creeping in. I start questioning, start wondering. And it's those moments when, if you look at, you know, somebody doing bench presses, right? All of a sudden, it gets easy, right? You've done it for 3-4 weeks. You're like, this is nothing. And then you add a couple more weights. And you struggle, right? It's hard. It's difficult. You want to quit. You don't want to go on. It's painful. It hurts. But if you do, and you continue to practice and continue to exercise, you become stronger. You can overcome that weight. You can overcome the resistance. That resistance being our flesh. The struggle being in the Spirit. And that's how we become stronger and move unto perfection. I just wanted to read out a couple more of these verses. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And for me, I'd like to continue to exercise and strengthen and live that spiritually minded, you know, just life and peace. I want to stay away from sin and death. It's not where I want to be.
Well, good morning, everyone. And as everyone said, it's a beautiful spring day in Vermont. These are the type of days we live for up here. They really are. I mean, you know, I was telling someone, I said, you know, I can really take almost any type of temperature-wise, as long as it's sunny. You know, there's something about the sun shining that makes you feel good. You know, I mean, just, you know, it doesn't matter if it's cold. The sun is shining. It's a wonderful day. Well, I'd like to go to 1 John. not the first John in the Bible, but first John at the end of the Bible. You know, it was actually a pretty good week. I got a call from Karen's sister, Jean. We have to call her Jean because there's a Jeannie and we don't want to get confused here. But we had a call. I had a call from Jean, and Jean, you know, had a guy come into the store looking for a Bible. Older man, about 62, I guess, and he had a heart attack, and he was a Christian. I mean, he was saying, I didn't want a Bible, and all they had were the big family Bibles, and she gave him a King James New Testament. And so he gave her her card, and she called me up and asked me to, you know, told me about it and asked me to give him a call. I said, sure, that'd be wonderful. So anyway, this is kind of going in that line. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hand, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm just going to finish the verse here. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, in talking to this gentleman, you know, one thing that I could tell you, I mean, he was an older gentleman, and he told me he was raised Baptist, and, you know, I actually believe he has a genuine faith. He says, I pray in the morning, and I pray when I'm traveling, and, you know, I seek the Lord, and he goes, but the thing that really was kind of interesting to me was this, that he says, but, you know, I really haven't gone to church in a very long time. Now, that's a two-edged sword. Going to the churches out here, that's probably a good thing. Going to the churches, but there's something else that's missing in that. And the thing that really came to me, and, you know, it's this thing where I had the first conversation, so I couldn't really bring it out. You know, you had to listen to where he was coming from, and, you know, so you know where the Lord would lead you to minister to him. But the thing that came to me on this thing is this, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. One thing that we have to do, we have to have fellowship one with another. We have to have that fellowship. And I know that when I look at it, I mean, well, going back to the minister's conference, you know, Davey said it's food for the soul. You know, it's when we have fellowship with one another, with those who believe, that's the mechanism for which the things that hold us back or the attitudes that we have start getting boiled out. Now, I could tell you that if, you know, I was a Christian and I hung out with the world, I mean, the world's not going to boil out those things that are unimportant to God. In fact, they're going to keep them into you. You know, oh, you don't have to get rid of that. Oh, that's okay. You know, it's all right. Because the world wants to bring you down to where it's going. It wants to take you down to the pits of hell. And the only way that we can reach that mark of perfection that Scott talked about is through fellowship one with another. I know that for myself, you know, when I accepted the Lord, and, you know, it was quite a few years before I moved to here where I found true fellowship. you know, I went to the church that I was raised in, and I'm like, you know, there's no one in this place that really has a clue. And I knew that. And so I didn't have any fellowship within that, within the church I was raised at. But when I moved here, I knew there was something different. I mean, the Lord clearly showed me there was fellowship here. Now, in that vein, it took years for me to get to that point where I was willing to inject myself fully into that fellowship so that the attitudes and the issues and the things that were a hindrance to my growth in the Lord could start to come up. Now, I could tell you that boiling, you know, that we talked about over faith and our trying over faith, only happens really in the body. It only happens in the body. Or only happens in fellowship. I mean, I'm going to have tribulation in the world as a Christian, but the things that really need to be tried out, the attitudes, the attitudes really, they're the ones that the fellowship in the body help bring out. And I know that as I started embracing the fellowship or coming more into the fellowship, there are times when things boil and it gets hot and it gets uncomfortable. But I know that if I want to continue to seek the Lord, the only place I'm ever going to get that is here or within His body, in His fellowship. And I'm not saying this is the only group in the world. I'm just saying this is where I'm at. But you know where it comes back to is that we have to be willing to go into that body. We have to be willing to go into that fellowship. Because the only way that that's the things that we need to get shed of is going to come through the fellowship. It's going to come through the body. And I know that things where I thought were okay, I've now come to the realization through the fellowship that they're an abomination unto God. And, you know, I know that part of the issue where I think with this gentleman here, and I understand it too, because, you know, there's a sense of self-righteous judgment when you look at others, when you look at other fellowships or you look at other things. But in the end, we have to have that faith that the Lord is going to lead us. If we're His, He's going to lead us to where we need to be. And my hope is, you know, I was talking to this gentleman, and like I said, I believe he has the true faith. I really generally believe that. And I know that the Lord led him to Gene. And that Gene gave him the ministry information. I hope that he comes in, he starts seeing it. And I know that one of the things he was telling me was that he doesn't read very well. He's of Mexican descent. And I don't know whether he migrated from Mexico or whatever the deal is. I didn't quite recall. But, you know, he was raised, and he was raised in the fields. He worked. He's a worker. He's a workaholic. He says, I never really learned to read. And I know part of that is, he says, you know, I really like to want to hear someone read the Word, you know, and stuff. And I said, well, you know, there's a lot of options out there. And, of course, as we know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I said, well, you know, you can go online, and you've got Scorby is the one you really want to get of the Bible readings out here. And you get cassettes, or they make those anymore, but CDs or whatever they have, and you can do it. And we have the online Bible studies is what was brought to him. Now, I know where Jean struggles is she really has no fellowship, physical fellowship with anybody in Texas. But she does have fellowship because she's in touch with the body here, or with the ministry here. And so, even though we may not have that physical closeness, you know, physical location closeness, you know, there is no bounds in the spirit. And my hope is that this gentleman finally comes in. You know, he attends these Bible studies because he wants to hear the Word. Now, he wasn't too keen on that suggestion, but we'll give him a call and we'll find out what goes on with that, and really have the Lord search his heart. But where it comes back to is that we can't forsake fellowship if we ever hope to reach that mark of perfection. Because it's in the body, it's in that fellowship that we see not only others going through it, going through the things that we may suffer or may be going through, but we also see the hope that you can get through that. You know, when you're out in the world and you don't have fellowship, who do you have to look to? You know, I know that when I look at Hebrews and it talks about you have such a great cloud of witnesses, we know that the Word is perfect and that everything in there is for our edification. But I know when I see someone do it in front of me, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. You know, it's like, well, hey, I read this book that someone can climb that mountain. Hey, I just saw someone climb that mountain. I know it can be done. That's why we can't forsake fellowship. We can't forsake it because we need the trying and the boiling of those things out of us. And also, he gives us the example of those in front of us that we see the true Word lived out. And so, I'm excited because Gene was excited. And, you know, it'd be nice to see something start in Clinton, Texas.
Clifton,
Texas.
Clinton, too.
Clinton, too, exactly. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And let's let the Lord, through His fellowship and through His body, help purify our faith so that we can become strong and be free from those things, those weights that so easily beset us.
Scott spoke out of James there was a reference to James about the call of the Lord is to be perfect. I'm going to read that which gives evidence of that. Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What we have to understand is our perfection comes in our perfect faith. That is where it is manifest. In John chapter 6, verse 28, it says, Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And you know, it's interesting because if you look at the testimony of Abraham and Isaac, we all know that God tried Abraham's faith. And he told him to take the son through whom all the promises were coming and sacrifice him. And Abraham did. And in Hebrews 11, it says he did in a fashion because in his heart that there was nothing stopping him from doing so. And the angel held his hand. And because Abraham knew, as Paul gives testimony to in Hebrews, that God would raise him from the dead, though there hadn't been a single resurrection yet from the dead. But what we kind of forget is the testimony Abraham gave to Isaac. And that was when Isaac said in verse 7 of chapter 22 of Genesis, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. See, Abraham believed God. And out of that belief, we see an obedience to God. But Abraham's righteousness was accounted to him because he actually believed God. Charlie read John. And it was funny because Karen read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, the starting place of faith is the acknowledgement of your sin before God. That's the starting place. It is from whence the gospel then has a place to minister. And it is then how you can be a minister or a servant of God, bringing the gospel. There's no other starting point but that you're a sinner. And that Jesus, solely by his blood, has offered to reconcile you to him. I was reading, I think it's John 8. I'll just start with verse 1. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, it's not just about believing in God. And isn't it wonderful? We're his children. We are his children when we believe him and serve him. The simple coming to a fisherman ministry, anything, the simple confession that you believe and you are his, is nothing in and of itself. It really is nothing. It's interesting to me when you look at Matthew 7, where Jesus says, there will be many who come in that day saying, Lord, Lord. Look at all we've done. And he says to them, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Do you know that I standing here and me speaking doesn't mean God knows me? I think God knows me. I make confession God knows me. I say I know God. But he says you'll know them by their fruits. Right? There's a lot of people that think God knows them. But there's a lot of people God's going to say he never knew them. So what does it mean to know God? Right? You know? To know God is actually a fruit of utter faith in him and obedience to him. You, Charlie, talked about that you see other people doing it. You saw that person go up the mountain. Well, doesn't Hebrews tell us that mark those, you know, basically who God has marked, and follow their faith? Are you following the faith? Because if you're not, what makes you think God knows you? I mean, it struck me that he says, I never knew you. Never. That's a pretty amazing statement. Never. You know, it is a funny thing because God clearly says that you can't serve two masters because you'll love the one and hate the other or despise the one, and I forget exactly how it goes, but you can't. But if we will choose him, and if when our faith is tried and it is found wanting, but we still believe him, because he said that that which he did was sufficient, and we don't give up, and we continue to move on, and we continue to choose him as our Lord, then patience will have her perfect work, and we will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But it is a battle, and it is a choice, and it isn't about us. And all our sorriness and all our selfishness and all about us, we got to put that off. We have it so dang easy. And we're so piss poor in many ways. You think that's a child of God? Do you think that's somebody he knows? You know what I mean? So, it starts with recognizing that woman caught in adultery, pretty certain she knew she was a sinner. And all those people who wanted to stone her, though they were convicted and moved away and didn't stone her, doesn't mean they knew they were a sinner before God. I mean, they were still better than her, right? The simple truth is that Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled and to spend eternity. But the simple acknowledgement of that means nothing. If we are going to choose him, it means we're choosing against all things that are not him. And most of that is housed right in you and me. I need no one else to pull me away from the Lord than myself. And I have no justification for anything. But he said he'll justify me. Can't have it both ways. We either believe him, and we stand because we believe him, or we don't believe him. And you'll know them by their fruits. So let patience have her perfect work. And let the trying of our faith bring forth that perfect work. Not the trying of our natural man. It's not the trying of our good habits. It's not the trying of anything about us. It's the trying of our faith. But if we believe, then we will make him Lord. And out of that means we choose to serve him and put off and die to ourselves.